B61. Number 2A.
Well, we are just touching on the question of scientific metaphysics, and I said that at that point, really, John Dawley came in and to show us, really, that we must know what are ideas of God. Because if we have only a human concept of ideas, then they are not ideas, then they are human concepts. And therefore, scientific metaphysics says, I'm not interested to think and to know what people consider to be ideas and what ideas are. Science says only that which God has revealed as ideas are actually ideas. Therefore, in order to know what the ideas of God are, we have to go to the textbook. We have to rely on the revelation of the textbook and have to rely that the textbook gives us really the answer, what are the ideas of mind, what are ideas of spirit, of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Therefore, in order to have more than just ordinary metaphysics, we are under the command, so to say, to study the seven synonymous terms. And this is always the weak point, practically in every student, that he doesn't like really to investigate the seven synonymous terms. It is a big work, I quite agree. It needs consecration, it needs time. One has to take up every reference on mind in the textbook, investigate through what ideas, through what qualities, attributes mind is characterized, and make oneself a list of it, and then go and do the same with the spirit, and then with soul, and principle, life, truth, and love. And it's a work that covers over 3,000 passages, references, and actually only when one loves that subject deep enough is one willing to go over it the second time, and the third time, and the 10th time, and the 20th time, just to polish more and more what are really the ideas of God, what constitutes the identities of being. Without that, we will never really be a scientist. We'll be metaphysicians. And that's the crucial point in the study and the development of every student. Most students try to sidestep that study because it takes time. But if one considers it in a divine way, in a spiritual way, it's one of the most beautiful study one can make. And it's a study that one can apply at once in the measure as we find out the ideas of the seven synonymous terms. We can apply them at once for our lives. So, scientific metaphysics demands that we study the seven synonymous terms and get a good grasp of the ideas characterizing every synonymous term. Only then can we make the second step, that we can align our thinking, our consciousness, with ideas and only with ideas. If we do not align ourselves with these ideas always, then we are using semi-metaphysics. Then we are using the metaphysics of the human mind and a little bit the metaphysics of the divine mind, and that mixture doesn't lead anywhere. So the big point is this study. Then we have seen that this scientific metaphysics shows us also that these ideas of mind, and spirit, and soul, and principle, life, truth, and love, because they are spiritual, that these ideas blend with each other, that they are not isolated ideas, isolated concepts, but that these ideas blend infinitely with each other, so that every idea reflects every other idea. They are not separate from each other. And so, through the combining or blending or reflecting of idea with ideas, we get another calculus than the human thought calculus. We get the calculus of ideas. We calculate, so to say, we compute, so to say, only with ideas, and no more with our human thoughts and human opinions. So here comes in the great break, where we begin to see that there is a completely different consciousness at work if we leave the material conceptions and also the material conceptions about ideas and leave that behind and go out from the synonymous term and their ideas and see that the universe is nothing else but the infinite reflection of ideas. Then we touch scientific metaphysics. So scientific metaphysics is the divine metaphysics in its operational sense as a calculus of ideas. Yes. Now, having seen so much, we are facing now the big question of science and metaphysics. John Dolley, in his last summer school, which was, so to say, the pinnacle of his teaching, very height of his teaching, with a tremendous impact on consciousness, he makes there that clear distinction between the metaphysical practice and the scientific practice. One of his key statements was that metaphysics involves the contemplation of ideas, whereas science involves the contemplation of the infinite one. The infinite one, forever including within itself its own ideas. Now, this is a terrific statement. Let's think it over for a short moment. He says what? He says, metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. Now, up to this point, we have seen that if we study the ideas of mind and spirit and soul and so on, and see how these ideas blend in a calculus of ideas, that even if we take that as the identities of being, that the contemplation of these ideas are still metaphysics and not yet science. Because we go out from our own consciousness and contemplate within ourselves ideas. Whereas, he said, science is what? Science is the contemplation of the infinite one. You see, not the contemplation of ideas, but the contemplation of the infinite one, including within itself its own ideas. It includes metaphysics. What does that mean? It means that as long as we only go so far as to think in terms of ideas, which is quite a step forward, which is quite a step above ordinary metaphysics, But as long as we only think in terms of ideas, it's still a metaphysical proposition. He compares that with science and says, you know, in science, it is not we that contemplate ideas. Science goes out from the Infinite One and contemplates its own ideas, and therefore includes metaphysics. So science does not exclude metaphysics. But the starting point is science. In science is the Infinite One that includes ideas. And this is a great shift in consciousness. See, mostly as Christian Scientists, or even when we have begun to study Dorley and his method of showing what is in the textbook, the student still somehow stalls at one point, namely at that point of contemplating ideas, instead of seeing that the infinite is contemplating himself, that God himself knows himself, and that only that what God knows about himself is really the reality of being. That therefore we must make that transition from contemplating ideas to the point where we see that the infinite contemplates himself and contemplates within himself the infinite ideas, the calculus of ideas. Therefore, this is a shift of standpoint. It's a shift of the standpoint of we contemplating ideas to the standpoint of the Infinite One contemplating himself and including within himself all the ideas. Again, it would show what Mrs. Eddy said, that the works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. They never crown the power of mind, capital M, as the Messiah. They never go out from the divine mind and contemplate what the divine mind is contemplating, what the divine mind knows about itself. So this is the great point. Sometimes one can perhaps symbolize it through the window pane and the light. The window pane is metaphysics, let's say as a symbol. The window pane can be dirty, can be dark, so that it hardly lets any light through. Well, the window pane is metaphysics, it's our mentality, the human mentality, which involved in all human concepts and human contemplation and human thinking, in the human calculus of reckoning with human values. This is the window pane. And it lets very little light through. The light is God, the divine mind. Well, in metaphysics, we can say, all right, let's clear up the window pane. And we begin to clean the window pane. And with every step in cleaning it, more light can shine through. Until perhaps at the point we feel the window pane is clear, so that the full light can shine through. Now, the window pane is not the light. It only lets the light through. Therefore, we must not take the window pane as the light. Even if the window pane is quite clean and lets all the light through, we must not misunderstand the window pane for the light. Therefore, we must not confound, really, that when we think in terms of ideas and only in terms of ideas, that is the light. That's only the clean window pane. Can you see that? The light is always light, no matter if it comes to a dirty window pane or to a clear window pane. It's always light and the full light. Therefore, we must see that we are the light and not the window pane. That we are the light that shines and shines always in its fullness. But that standpoint we can only take when we are really seeing that the light is God, that the light is mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love. That only then, really, we are the light. Just as Jesus said, he didn't say, I let the light shine through me. He said, I am the light. And so we too, we are still somehow in metaphysics when we say, well, I am a good transparency for the light. It's still metaphysics. We are still the window pane. We still are something else than the light itself. So let's see that the Christ says, I am the light. I am the light. Therefore, Jesus was taking the standpoint of God and was conscious the way God is conscious. He was not so much conscious about God, and it was the consciousness of God. If we are conscious about the ideas, we are still something besides the ideas. Therefore, there is still a duality there. But if we can see, like Jesus, that I am the light and the life and the truth, then at that point we begin to be conscious the way life is conscious, the way truth is conscious, the way love is conscious. And then we are the light and not the window pane. Is that clear? See? Usually when we talk with students, they feel that they must be transparent for the light. That's nice. But it isn't science. Can you see that? Science is always the contemplation of the infinite one. It's always the contemplation of the light itself that shines by itself and therefore lightens up everything by itself. So, we have here a great question. Namely, that we have an unfolding stage, which says, at the beginning, we first must see that we are transparent for the light. How can we be transparent for the light? By saying, I clean up everything within myself that does not let the light shine through. How can I clean up that? I can clean up that by aligning my consciousness or culturing my consciousness in ideas. In the ideas of what? Huh? Of mind, of God. And so at once there is a bridge there that is being built to God Himself. And so through scientific metaphysics we culture within ourselves a pure consciousness, a purer and purer and purer window pane, by culturing ourselves to think only in terms of ideas and not in terms of human reckoning. But the measure we do that, the more we do that, we begin to realize that these ideas are ideas of God and not of us. And the more we do that, suddenly we feel we are the light. And we touch science. At that moment we touch science. Science always goes out from the capitalized terms. And then we have made that transition out of metaphysics into science. Now, you can see something very important, that we would fool ourselves if we would leave out metaphysics in our way of development. If we would start out as ordinary mortals who have no knowledge of God at all, who have only their own thoughts and their own concepts and opinions, if we would say, all right, I go out now from God, we couldn't, because we would not know what God is. We would not know. It would be a mystical concept. We only know what mind is by first really seeing the ideas of mind, what constitutes the realm of mind, what ideas really are constituting the reality of being. And only as we do that, we really touch then the synonymous term mind, or spirit, or soul, or principle, life, truth, and love. So all those people who feel that we could just go out right at the beginning from the synonymous term, just fool themselves into mysticism. Because a term that is not defined through the ideas are mystical. They are not defined. Therefore, we must make that clear distinction between two things. Namely, the first is the way of understanding. That way of understanding goes from metaphysics to science. That way of understanding undertakes that study of the synonymous terms in the textbook in order to find out what these seven synonymous terms really mean. And so that we get a sense of those synonymous terms, what they mean as such, and not what we think they mean. As long as we think about the seven synonymous terms, what we think they mean and what they are, we are not scientists. Only when we first put away all our concepts of what the seven synonymous terms really mean and put that right out of our consciousness and says, I start blank. I start now absolutely fresh and blank, and with the one big question, what is mind really? What does mind really mean? What does spirit really mean? And only in that way we arrive at the ideas. And you can see that this is the way of understanding to the point of scientific metaphysics, which then goes over to science itself. Then naturally, the second point, I said the first point is the way of understanding, the second point is the way of demonstration. Understanding leads to demonstration. That way is always from the synonymous term, from the capitalized terms. That's something else. First, we must clear our window pane to the point where it is transparent for the nature of God, and only then really we can demonstrate the nature of God by going out from the synonymous term and never going out from anything else. So the way of understanding is another way than the way of demonstration. To leave out the way of understanding and just say we go out from God and only from God is right and is wrong. It is right if we have gone first the way of understanding, because then we know what the synonymous term mean. But if we go out from God without having gone the way of understanding, then it is mysticism. And that was always the danger in Christian Science, that the progressive thinkers at one point always turned into mysticism. You have Bicknell Young, who was a terrific caliber and a progressive caliber, but all his students turned into mysticism. They had a mystical concept of the One, because they did not know what the One Mind meant, what the One Spirit meant. They only had a flair for it, and that's mysticism. And so it is with every advancing step, also in our teaching, that we must be careful that we always follow the order of science properly, or else we begin to talk about very high concepts and terms of science without really knowing what they mean. And that's dangerous. See, we introduce so many things like matrices, like structure, like text interpretation, like flowcharts and so on. But if we don't know what they really mean, they are indefinite, they are therefore not reliable, they are therefore not science, though we speak in terms of science. That is always a danger. So let's be clear also here in this subject that we go the ordered way. And you know, it's interesting, when a new subject precipitates itself on consciousness, it always comes in an ordered way. We can always see, when we consider the history of an idea, that we can always see in the history of an idea the order in which it comes to consciousness, and we can always take that order as the order in which it comes to the individual consciousness. How did the science of being come to John Dorley? Well, it came to him first through metaphysics, through divine metaphysics, through scientific metaphysics. He began first to see that we have to study the 7 days of creation, that we have to study the seven synonymous terms, that we have to study the four sides of the holy city. And only through that culturing of the system, he then afterwards began to teach it from the point of view of science.